Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. And welcome to all of you, wherever you are, many of you on podcasts and on YouTube and on our lovely turningtowards.life website. And some of you are with us live. Hello, everyone who's with us live on a Sunday morning here in the UK in our Facebook group, which everyone is very welcome to join. I'm feeling very, very glad to be here again this week, Lizzie, and in the chat that we were just having before we came. Do we say on air when we do it this way? Probably not. I have no idea what the correct word is for when it's not going over the radio waves as it used to do in the past. So what a source of gladness and solace and joy it is to come into this conversation every week, and no matter what I've been in the middle of. No matter what strong waves of feeling are blowing through me, I come and sit here and find you and us and everyone, all these circles of people who are around us, and then a source with some depth and meaning and joy in it for us to get into and learn from and with one another from. And it feels very alive and very real and very true kind of practice. So I'm glad to be here with you, and thank you for choosing such a wonderful source for us this week. And I'm very glad to be here with all of you who are with us. And before we dive into talking about the source, I want to make a request to all of you who are with us, which is that if you are finding this of value, which we know many of you are, then one of the ways that you can help this spread deeper into the world is to share it with other people that you know. So you can send them links to podcast episodes or to our website, or if you sign up for our email on our website, you can forward them the email. But the other thing it turns out is super helpful is rating the podcast on Apple Podcasts or subscribing to it, any of those things that work with the structures of the world to have this get seen, means it can reach people who we know will benefit from it. And we'd be very joyful to know that you are playing your part in having this be of a gift to other people. So whether or not you choose to do that, we are so glad that you're with us. And Lizzie, thank you for bringing the source.
Thanks, Justin. So this is a little passage from Michael Mead, whose book Fate and Destiny keeps returning. I think we've had a couple of sources of Michael's here. And I've been somehow reflecting on age, and this first line of this source is the passing of time makes everyone older, but not necessarily wiser. And so when I read this, I was very, I don't know, like I felt like it led me into more of a conversation than I was currently capable of having. And I think that's part of the nature of the sources that appeal to me so much, is that they kind of pull on a thread or something, but the thread didn't get, I couldn't pull it or something. And then when the source arrives, like, oh, there's the thread being pulled and I'm not pulling, but it's a gift, it's here for me. And so I'm really grateful that there are those who can sit and pull those threads and then deliver us the gift of the threads. And Michael Mead seems to be one of those people who does that all the time in my world. So here we go. As usual, Justin, we're going to read the source. Maybe if somebody's new to the rhythm, we read the source, each of us once, and then we see where we get to in the moment with one another in the conversation. So this is a passage from Fate and Destiny by Michael Mead. It goes like this. The passing of time makes everyone older, but not necessarily wiser. People either wise up to who they are at their core of their soul, or else tend to slip into narrow egocentric patterns. Either they develop a greater vision of life as they mature, or they simply lose sight of who they were intended to be and what they came to give to this world. Many actually become more childish in old age. An extended old age can easily lead to a return of infantile attitudes and exaggerations of basic neediness. In traditional societies, the old people became the guardians of the mysteries and the keeper of the higher laws of life. Having grown both older and wiser, they knew best what needed to be preserved and remembered in order for human life to be noble and meaningful and in tune with nature. Those old enough to know better would become living depositaries of wisdom for the next generation to draw upon. If not, everyone would suffer a loss of knowledge and greater disorientation in the world.
Passing of time makes everyone older, but not necessarily wiser. People either wise up to who they are at their core of their soul, or else tend to slip into narrow egocentric patterns. Either they develop a greater vision of life as they mature, or they simply lose sight of who they were intended to be and what they came to give to this world. Many actually become more childish in old age. An extended old age can easily lead to a return of infantile attitudes and exaggerations of basic neediness. In traditional societies, the old people became the guardians of the mysteries and keepers of the higher laws of life. Having grown both older and wiser, they knew best what needed to be preserved and remembered in order for human life to be noble and meaningful and in tune with nature. Those old enough to know better would become living depositaries of wisdom for the next generation to draw upon. If not, everyone would suffer a loss of knowledge and a greater disorientation in the world.
Thanks, Justin. So, in the receiving of these words, as you've read them and I've read them, Justin, what's immediately present to me is this last line of the greater disorientation in the world, and how it's so easy, it seems, in our culture to have those who've been around for longer be ignored or not counted in terms of their opinion or their wisdom or what they have to say about things. And somehow at the moment that feels particularly true, in that the world feels like it's changing really, really, really fast to me. Like when I think about my granddad and his experiences of two world wars and the life that he had while I was then alive, and he never knew what the internet was. I tried to explain it a couple of times before he died, and he was like, "Yeah, no, I'm not." There wasn't a slot for that in his being. There wasn't like a place where that was possible. And or mobile phones or anything really technological at all. His life was, the telly was a miracle, you know, that there was a channel that said some things out of a box and there were words and sounds and images, and the radio was a big part of his life. And that wasn't very long ago. You know, that reality was so like a blink away in the scheme of time. And it just feels like the speed at which things are changing, this acknowledgement of our wisdom as we grow and giving that back to the ones who have been here for less time and who we profoundly care about, in order for them to have some orientation of the passage of things rather than this is all that ever existed, bless you, feels really, really crucial to well-being, to stability of understanding who we are and where we came from. And it could so easily all be lost because of the narratives that we have about being older and becoming unable or something to be in the world as it currently is, in the way that people who've grown up in the soup of technology and the way we talk about things now and what happens. And it also goes to say that, goes to, like, for me, like, when I was younger, I didn't really feel very drawn to adulthood, because I didn't have any of, there were lots of older people around, but I'm not sure there were lots of wiser people around. Like, that's not how I perceived it. So I also know how it feels that the people who are older than me are just a world away, and I don't want to be like that, thank you very much. Like, that looks really stressful, it looks really hard, it looks really boring, it looks really difficult, everyone's complaining all the time. Like, please can I not be one of them, thank you very much. So I also know where that comes from as well, of not really valuing olderness because of the wisening, feeling like it didn't happen or get bestowed on me as a younger person. So I feel very interested in this conversation of what it means now that I'm an older person. I'm not a teenager anymore, I'm not in my 20s, I'm not in my 30s. It's like, what does it mean to actually become a wiser person and then be able to serve the world in a wider way than just my bracket of how old I am and the people around me? And how do I be one of these people who holds this vision of who I was and am intending to be, and not lose myself to all of the things we've spoken about many times, of everything just being hard and life full of problems? And, you know, how do I retain my joy and my purpose and my love-filled playfulness with life and with people, in spite of the difficulties and the complexities of being a person who has adult responsibilities?
I think this is a really tricky question for all of us, because I was just thinking about what you said, Lizzie, about our experience of growing up with older people, and how hard it is in our contemporary culture for anyone to attend to their wisening.
Yeah.
It's really hard, because I was listening to you read Michael Mead, the thought occurred to me that older people becoming the guardians of the mysteries and the keeper of the higher laws of life doesn't just happen on its own. It happens because there's a context in which it is facilitated by the practices of the culture and the honoring of the elders and the way and the whole relational field in which elders are held in the community, dismissed or welcomed, deepened or shallowed. And I think that we broadly live, I don't know enough about the history, but I wonder if in the 150, 200 years or so, at least in the parts of the world where we live, of the dismantling of community and the fragmentation into a much more sort of individualistic kind of life, and then two world wars and all of the things that happened after that, we've landed in a context which really magnifies for all of us our sense of being on our own and our sense of needing to grasp and grab, which is all the way through our life. And maybe it's not surprising that for many, many people, entering into what is also in many ways a more vulnerable time of life magnifies exactly the things we've built a society, which magnifies the things that Michael Mead says in us. Our selfishness, in other words, our self attention, our fear, and then we go about marginalizing people who are older, partly because they're not good market for many things, and partly because we're also afraid, and partly because we don't find in people the kind of leadership and wisdom and groundedness and mystery that another culture might have made. So it's a sort of self, it's a self-perpetuating cycle on many on many levels. And so one of the big things that we might think about is, how do we shift that? How do any of us start to break that pattern if we feel drawn towards the kind of world that Michael Mead talks about? So how might we begin now to rebuild what's been broken so that this has a chance to take root? So I'm talking about what's sort of outside of us. And I was actually just thinking about, there are lots of people doing amazing things, like setting up kindergartens that bring together very young people and very old people in the same place. And instead of marginalizing the old and marginalizing the young, as if everything was separate to one another, we find these two places in life where there's time available, and we bring them right in intimate contact with one another. So there are things we can begin to do. It's like small steps we can eke out. And then there's also, what do we each do for ourselves, so that we have a chance? Like, if there's not going to be a curriculum, if our society isn't going to provide us with a way of entering into elderhood like it should do, I think, and has done in the past, given that that's absent, what might we do in ourselves? And it seems to me that there's such a powerful invitation here in the very first bit of Michael Mead's. Are we going to wise up to who we are at the core of our soul, or are we going to slip into narrow egocentric patterns? And can we begin to identify, can we observe ourselves well enough to be able to discern, or maybe have other people around us who can help us do it, to discern which of those paths we're following at any moment in time, and which of those paths we're following over a life? And I was thinking about what you were saying about how, for me, maybe fear is the one that's actually the narrow egocentric pattern. It's very, very easy for me to get afraid and then to get very convinced by my fear. And I could just, and there's truth in my fear, but I could go along with it, and do sometimes go along with it in a way that makes my world very small. And I feel like I'm being reminded in this conversation that I have a very deep responsibility to pay attention to which side of this, if you lay it out as an either or, as Michael Mead does here, to lay it out on which side of this am I standing, and can I not take my fear so seriously, so that I have a chance of being a guardian of the mystery and keeper of the higher laws of life in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years time, when I will be much more in the elder end of things than now. And that's a project of love and attentiveness that we're not going to get handed. I think that's the thing I'm getting to. No one's going to hand this to us.
As you're talking, Justin, what's coming so strongly to me is that my sense, kind of anecdotally in experience, is that the younger ones of today have a very straightforward, easy radar for when people have assumed wisdom because they're older, and that's not okay anymore. Like, just because you're old doesn't mean you get to tell me what to do. Just because you're old doesn't mean that you have any more authority than I do. Like, that feels like the gift of being a young one at the moment, is to see through unhealthy power structures. And it feels like an expression of the way the world is changing in service of this wisening. But when we're hanging on from fear, it feels difficult to let go. And I think that the conversation about the power that we have belongs in this space as well. And just because I'm at a certain age doesn't mean I know better, or the way I want to control things should take more priority over the way you want to do things. And I often hear this in conversations between parents and older children, where the older children are, you know, maybe in their 20s, just saying, you guys are really difficult to be with because you just want everything the way you want it. And it's so hard to be in relationship with you because there's so much more to my life than these rigid ways of trying to make things happen the way you want them to, but you're not listening to me and you're not opening to me. You're not curious about me. You're not wondering what my reality is. And so that differential has the potential to really, really remove the possibility for this elders holding the things that the next generation will draw upon because of that fracture and the tendency as humans who get older, we have to be controlling and to say, well, it's my way or the highway, and you live under my roof and these are my rules and you have to do this, instead of being in community in our families as well and listening and wondering what works for everyone, like a world that works for all of us in this home rather than just the people who have more years. And so I often find myself in the position of bridging the gap between olderness and youngerness. It's just somehow part of my destiny that I often find myself there. And even in my family constellation, my immediate family constellation, where my husband is 10 years older than me and my stepdaughter is 10 years younger than me, kind of, that's approximate, but that's like where I find myself in there. So I'm the mediator, you know, I'm the kind of, oh, I see that and I see that. How do we find a way that these two things can really have their place? And so this thing about just because I'm older doesn't mean I know better feels really crucial to relationship, and how we can't just fall on I know better because I've been around for longer. That's not enough. Like, that doesn't give enough weight to anything. And maybe it did once, but not now, because the world has changed and we all have access to so much more understanding and information through the way that we live much more early on. So our immediate families are becoming less nuclear because there's so much more influence coming in. And so we have to, if we want to be wiser, I think we have to stand in many, many more shoes and live from other places in order to be coherent and in order to be the kind of power that actually matters and doesn't fracture things, but brings things together.
The way you're talking about all of this, Lizzie, seems to me that the path of growing older and getting more certain is most certainly not the path of wisdom.
Yeah.
And that wisdom, in the way that I'm understanding Michael Mead, guardians of the mysteries and keeper of the higher laws of life, that the lower laws of life might be something like tie your shoelaces and dress this way and speak this way. They're the higher laws of life transcend particular cultural moments. They are the wisdom of life itself that unfolds over millennia, and they can never be reduced to, I'm older than you, so I know what you should do on Tuesday night when you. So the kind of wisdom that I think we're being invited into here actually has a very profound letting go. It has a profound letting go of the definitiveness that things have to be a particular way, and a deepening into an understanding of patterns that unfold over millennia and over generations that are always present in a human life, like our impermanence, for example, like really coming to terms that change. So I think that the way that when he's talking about slip into narrow egocentric patterns, that's the power move that's easy to make, which is, I'm older, so now I have to impose my will on the world. And just because I'm 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, I either have to make you my way, Lizzie, or what I have to do is disengage with you and go, oh, young people today, don't understand. Things were much better when I were younger. That move, I think, is a when I read the ancient texts of my own tradition, what makes me smile is that that move was present there as well. You know, 2,500 years ago, people are going, young people today, what a mess, you know. But that's because something different is being asked of all of us. And in, what's the way I want to say this? I want to honor that many, many, many of us as we grow older have not had any support in our own development. So it's no wonder that we embrace a kind of shallow, rigid version of this. We've heard the older people should be wiser, and we've translated it into control.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder then that we feel marginalized and desperate, because the world's not going to do that for us. And so there's something to be said here for, in the absence of a culture that is going to support us with this, we're going to have to support ourselves and one another with it. It's not going to happen just by accident. We're going to have to pay attention, all of us. I mean, those of us who are in our 40s and 50s and 30s, but also anyone who's younger, who's thinking about living the arc of a life.
Yeah.
Which is, how do I cultivate wisdom? How do I develop a greater vision of life as I mature, that goes beyond? Because it's not a given that anyone who's 18 or 22 or 32 now will grow into wisdom either, even though there's so much more flexibility in the world and understanding in the world of many things. Any of us could go down this path of rigidifying into trying to make the world the way that will have us feel safe. And goodness, what the world misses out because of this. And right now, you know, it was just been the hottest July ever in the world. So we're facing really big things that call on our attention, and it needs all of us not to be in the narrow egocentric place.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to wonder about what it is to take this up as a promise and take this up as a commitment, but also what it is to be like, how can we be for one another, those of us who accompany one another as we age, in the same ages as one, you know, how do I accompany people who are the same age as me? But also, how do I get accompanied by younger people, and how do I accompany younger people so that we all have a chance of this, which is so needed, and we don't end up in a return to infantile attitudes and exaggerations of our basic neediness.
Yeah. It's so interesting. This feels slightly tangential, but you saying what you're saying is having this arise in me. I have this newfound relationship with Instagram at the moment, because I have a 3-year-old and want to be wise, and find myself flailing around thinking, I don't know how to deal with this particular thing. And I wonder if any other mothers or fathers have dealt with this better than me. Could I seek their wisdom and support, kind of thing? And so I'm seeing the Facebook, Instagram created algorithm in action, and I'm getting served the most incredible content that really, really helps me every day to make better decisions, to be wiser, to hold my power in a way that feels aligned with my soul and my heart and the best interests of our family. And I was thinking, this is working really well. So my Instagram feed is basically things like Dad Harmony, where a group of 5 Swedish men sing harmonies with their children at the table with them, and it just sort of melts my heart. Or dancing, like I just watched a beautiful dancing video this morning that really brightened the time. I was texting my sister because Vesper stayed at her house for the first time, and these things were popping up, and one of them was this little dancing troupe that was just beautiful. So it's dancing, music, and then mums and dads sharing their wisdom about getting through the summer holidays and having to make meals for their children and not knowing how to construct a meal after the fifth day because all of your ideas have run out and things like that. And my Instagram feed is really amazing, but what I'm seeing and feeling in this moment is that it could, depending on what I am drawn to, I would be fed more of that. So the algorithm is an expression of my consciousness, and it is for every user, that's what it is. So the more I appreciate something, the more of that comes my way. And so when you were saying that we could become more, well, the way I interpreted it anyway, more kind of calcified, more rigid, more this is the way things should be, more egocentric and narrow, as Michael Mead puts it. If my narrowness is my, I'm not going to say, I want to say my intention, but it would never be my intention to be narrow. It just happens. It's like a habitual thing. But if that's the thing I want to seek more of, because I can't see anything else, like the path of wisdom hasn't been laid out for me, like you're saying, both Instagram, but also my life just keeps serving me the same experiences again and again, because that's the way I'm bringing myself to it. So I haven't really ever seen the kind of algorithm thing being mirrored by the way that our structure of interpretation, the way that we're bringing forth our world, it's a mirror of it. And until there's a shift in that, until there's some kind of break in that, that's all that's ever going to happen, is that we're just going to keep on keeping on with the same stuff. And this smallening and narrowing is happening because of the way that we're bringing ourselves to the world. And I'd never seen before in this moment somehow the relationship between this whole algorithmic world we live in online and who we are as human beings living into life and doing so much, having so much power in creating the experiences that we have and that we don't have. And I think that's one of the big questions we're in, Justin, is how do we create experiences and conversations that create a break in the chain somehow, so that newness can emerge. Something we haven't thought about could be thought. Some way of relating to life could arise that we haven't conceived of yet or been invited into or even knew existed. And what does it take to do that? And when is that possible? And how do we facilitate that? Use the word facilitate, like our wisdom has to be facilitated because our world is not arranged to do that for us. If anything, our world is perpetuating the thing that's the narrowing and the bringing about of even deeper egocentric patterns.
One very brief thing to say in response to what you just said, Lizzie. The briefest thing to say is yes. But the slightly less brief thing to say is, I remember reading somewhere a wonderful book I read some of called The Reality of Being, which makes the claim that the key to the cultivating of our own wisdom and of our own aliveness is cultivating new impressions in us, which I think is exactly what you're saying. That what we can do is we can be, to use a term that's got a lot of currency these days, we can be curators. We can be intentional about what we expose ourselves to, and then what we do inside us and between us with what we get exposed to. And we can either circle into this pattern of closing down the world and becoming more rigid and more certain and only allowing ourselves to be in contact with what we already know and what's familiar, or we can turn towards opening again and again and again to what's on the outside of our experience and then bringing it in and working with it so it can take up a proper place in us, the right place in us. And that really is a choice. It's a choice about how to live a life, and it's a choice about how to be with one another. And maybe that's a huge part of this either or that Michael Mead is talking about, and that the wise ones were never the ones who rigidified themselves. into a narrow view of life as they had lived it, but kept themselves open so that when we are older, one of the things that we're attending to is how much everything changes all the time. And can we stay wise in the world rather than some kind of disappearance from the world? And I know that that's what, having this language, Lizzie, between you and me also reminds me that that's what this is, this conversation is over these years. And it's also what Third Space is. I've been thinking that Third Space is, in a way, is that place in which we support ourselves and others in coming into contact with opening ourselves to new ways of feeling, seeing, thinking, so that we can respond to the world. And the last part of it is a reminder of what a gift and a curse something like Instagram or TikTok or Facebook can be, because we can use it either to spiral closer into our uncertainties, or we can actually, there is a way of using it as a great gift because there are wise ones out there. And so can we find the wise ones, not the ones who are hysterical or narcissistic or out to get something for themselves at our expense? And can we seek out the wise ones? And the technology is an amazing way of doing that, and bring them into our orbit so that they can live around us and inside us when we might not have access to them across the street or in our town, but they are somewhere else in the world and they're being brought to our doorstep. There's a call for all of us.
Thank you, Justin. Well, this is a really, as ever, we could go into more and more threads that are being inspired in me to talk about. And we're at the end of our time together today. And I just want to thank you, Justin, for being a wise one, and for all of the ones here listening, whatever the pull was to be in this kind of conversation, which is not your average conversation that you hear every day and may feel tricky at times and comforting at times and opening at times and challenging at times. Just thank you for being here and for being in this practice, which is what you were saying, Justin, of opening into worlds that wisen us, that expand us, that free us into different places of humanness. So thank you. And we're going to be back next week, next Sunday, with some excellent something chosen by Justin to begin the conversation. And we will see you in a week's time.
Thanks, everyone.